So this morning, we're going to answer a very important question. We've been talking about things that Christians should be amazing at. There are certain things where if we are people of faith, if we claim to have a relationship with God, if we claim to have salvation and forgiveness of sins, if we claim to have eternal life forevermore, and we're going to spend it in heaven with God, there are certain things that we should be pretty confident about. There are some certain teachings in the Bible that we should be amazing about. And we talked about this last week, where if you say you have a friend, and I like to meet your friend, but you don't know what your friend looks like, you don't know where your friend lives, you don't know what your friend likes, then I'd have to question the sincerity of your friendship and whether or not it's a real friendship or it's just something that you wish you had. And so we're taking a look, and our sermon series for the past few weeks and for a few more weeks this summer is called Black and White. There are some things that are very, very clear in the Bible that are simply black and white. And as people of faith, as Christians, we should be very comfortable with these big ideas. For instance, we should be very comfortable with the reality of God, that God is and that he exists. And last week we took a look at, well, if we're comfortable with the idea of God, if we say we have a relationship with God, then we should know what he looks like. And we saw that from the Bible, we see that God is an invisible spirit. He is the uncreated cause of the whole heaven and the earth. We talked a little bit about Satan. We're going to be talking more about him next week. So we should be comfortable with the reality of God. We should be comfortable with the reality of the devil. We should know something about angels and demons. If these are black and white issues, we should know something about heaven and hell. And so we're looking at the Bible to encourage ourselves and to educate ourselves so that as people of faith, there's some things that we should be pretty awesome about. There are some things that we should be pretty amazing at. And this morning, the thing that we're going to answer, the question we're going to take a look at is if we're Christians and we say we're a part of a church, or maybe we're even members of a church. Now, River Church doesn't really have membership yet. That's something that we're going to be talking about and getting more involved with as the fall comes, membership classes and talking about membership. But if we're a regular part of a church because we're Christians, then we should be able to answer the question, what does a church look like? Like, why do we care about church? Why is it important that we have church? What makes a church? What does the Bible say about church? What does Jesus say about the church? Why do we care about church? Because we see Christians all the time and people of faith all the time making a big deal about church. And church is important. We're going to see that this morning. But it's one of these areas that Christians should be kind of amazing at. We should be very comfortable describing what and why a church is and what a church looks like. And so this morning, we're going to jump into the scripture briefly. We are going to have a time of communion at the end of the message this morning. So this is going to be kind of more of a devotional. I say this every time we do this, have a communion service the first Sunday of the month, that if you like River Church today, don't fall in love today because I'm going to try and preach short. And so a normal sermon is going to be about 30 minutes long. And so if you like the sermon today because this church is like really short and to the point, don't trust that. Come back next week and see if you really think that's a good idea or not, because the sermons aren't always 20 minutes long. They're normally 30 to 35 minutes long. But in 20 minutes, we're going to try and get a better understanding of what does the church look like. Let's start with what Jesus said, what the church looks like. And I know some of you were assigned verses ahead of time. There's no microphone set up for you, so if you're reading a verse today, you're just going to have to really stand and deliver. But the first verse that we're going to look at this morning is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus answers the question. He gives us an idea about what the church looks like. And so this is Jesus here answering the question, what does the church look like? We're going to look at four different pictures of what the church looks like this morning. So does someone have Matthew chapter 16? All right, nice and loud, Dave.
And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the forces of Hades will not overpower it.
Thank you, Dave. I'm going to repeat it just so that it's on the recording. Also, if you got one of these handouts this morning, the scripture is recorded in there as well. If you need one, just wave and someone will get one to you real quick. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I also say to you that you are Peter. He's talking to the apostle Peter. And on this rock, he's referring to himself. In the Greek, he's referring to a big rock. I will build my church and the forces of Hades will not overpowered. And so the picture of a church that Jesus gives here in Matthew chapter 16 is that the church is an army. And we also find out that the church is something that Jesus is going to build. The church is God's idea. The church is not pastor's idea. It's not priest's idea. It's not people's idea. The church is something that Jesus is going to build and that Jesus is going to have be on the planet as long as there's a planet to have. And so the church is Jesus' idea, and he says that it's like an army. Now, we know, of course, that our job as the church is to not poke people in the eyeball. That is not the church's job. To remember when Peter said, hey, you know, we're going to go have a little fight, so I'm going to strap on a sword. How many swords should we bring? And Jesus kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of all set with the sword thing. And so we know that when Jesus says that the church is an army and that the fortress or that the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it, he's not talking about us getting sticks and torches and guns and knives and arrows and cannons and going and attacking something that we consider represents hell. That's never been the work of the church, although in history we see that they were mistaken. The work of the church, we know that when the church goes to war, they drop to their knees. We know that when the church fights, it's from a position of power, which is called prayer. Because we know that the ultimate power and source behind the church, since it's Jesus's church, then the power must be God. And so it's not about us flexing our muscles, it's about us bending a knee and asking the Lord to do something that only the Lord can do. And so it's a praying army. It's an army of prayer. It's not an army where we go around and try and accomplish our will or what we think is God's will by being forceful and belligerent. It's about an army that fights quietly, privately, in prayer, because when God moves then through his church, he gets the glory. That's the first picture of the church. We're going to take a look at a second picture of the church this morning, and it is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Does someone have 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16? Can you stand and read that real loud? Thank you, sir.
1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you yourself know that you are God's sanctuary and that the Spirit of God lives in you?
Thank you, Mike. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says that don't you yourselves know that you are God's sanctuary and that the Spirit of God lives in you. Can you turn that clock so I can see it? Or I might have lied. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. My wife was hiding the clock. She's like all into this sermon. She just wants it to roll. But I just did you all a solid right there. And now I can actually see what time it is. The church, the picture of this passage that Paul writes is that the church is like a building. Now, if you were to go out in this community right now and say, hey, what is a church? Most people would say that a church is a building. And to a certain degree, we would agree because Scripture says that the church is a building. It's like a building. Do you yourselves not know that you are God's sanctuary and that the Spirit of God lives in you? And so we know that the church is to have a structure. In fact, the beauty of the church, which is God dwelling inside of people that regularly meet together, is that if you want to ask the question, where can I find God on this planet? It's anywhere where his people are gathered together. Faith has a face in church. Did you catch that? Faith has a face in church. All of us have different ideas and different struggles and different challenges. And isn't it comforting to know that you can find a face in a church that has the faith to help you with whatever it is you're struggling? And so there's a structure to that. There's a consistency to that. And Scripture says it's like a building, but it's God living inside of you. You're the building. We're the building. Us gathered together is the building. That's the structure that God uses, because when people want to find the face of God and where can faith be modeled and demonstrated, it's found in our faces. In a church, which has nothing to do with a structure, which has nothing to do with an actual building, faith has a face. It has your face. It has my face. And as we continue to know each other and grow together, then our faith grows as we get to hear our different stories and pin ideas of faith to different faces. Some of you have survived terrible medical struggles, and your faith was tested. Some of you are going to go through terrible medical difficulties, and it is going to be incredibly encouraging to you when you see faith with a face. Because someone is going to be able to share God's word with you because they have placed their faith in God's word as he's living and dwelling inside of them, and they have overcome that medical struggle by faith, and you can talk to them about it face to face. So in a church, faith has a face. That's what makes it a structure. That's what makes it a place where we can find God's presence on the planet. The third picture we're going to look at this morning is found in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. And could someone stand and read that passage for us, please? Thanks, Jay.
Now, as we have many parts in one body,
Thank you, sir. Paul writes in the book of Romans that the church is like a body. Now, as we have many parts in one body and all the parts do not have the same function in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So if we're going to answer the question of what does a church look like this morning, the answer that Jesus gives is it looks like an army that exercises spiritual authority against the forces of hell, because there is an evil one, there is a battle, and God's church is the one who fights, and we don't fight by poking people in the eyeball, we fight by taking a knee and being a people of prayer, because then God gets the glory, right? It's not us flexing our muscles, it's us wearing holes in our jeans as we hit the deck and we ask God to be amazing. The church is also a building. It is the place where you can find faith in a face, where you can hear stories of faith face to face. You can find the presence of God in a church. It's like a building, a place you can go find that face, and that is the structure, that is the building of God. And also, the church is a body. It is an interdependent system that takes care of its own needs and meets the needs of others. I could go on and on about how River Church, even though we're a new church, has begun to meet the needs in this community. There are many examples of how we have been able to meet needs in this community. There are also many examples of how River Church has met needs within our own community as a church. The funny thing about a family is your family is a family right now, even though you're not at home, even though you're not in a house. And so a family is related to the idea of a building, because we love to think that church is a building, just like we love to think that a house is a home, but your home could be destroyed or you could change your home, but your family is still your family. Your family is here, even though you're not defined by four walls. Even so, the church is here and we are not defined by four walls. And so the third picture this morning is that the church is a body. The final picture that we're going to take a look at this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Thank you, Lionel.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless.
Thank you, Lionel. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27 says that the church is like a bride. And this is one of the most interesting pictures that we have to answer the question of what is the church like? As Christians, we should be amazing at understanding what the church is like. And Paul writes in Ephesians that the church is like a bride. He writes, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. If there is one idea that is very clearly taught in the scripture that is there's a lot of confusion about right now in our culture, is this idea of marriage. There's a lot of different opinions about marriage. There's a lot of different opinions about who can be married, how they can be married, where they can be married, and what those marriages should look like, how they can raise families. Lots of questions about that right now, and the scripture is very clear about it. And so there's a lot of confusion about what marriage actually is, but there is absolutely no confusion about what adultery is. Everybody, whether you're a person of faith or whether you've been in church your whole entire life, everybody understands what adultery is. And so one of the pictures, one of the most powerful pictures that we have about what is the church is the bride of Jesus Christ, which means a lot of different things, and there's a lot that we could say about it, but one thing it doesn't mean is that we're unfaithful. It means that the church is faithful to Jesus Christ. The bride wears white as a symbol of her purity and dedication to her man. And while there's a lot of question about what makes up a legal marriage and what makes up a biblical marriage today, none of us are confused about adultery. None of us are confused about unfaithfulness. None of us are confused about impurity. And so when it comes to the church is to be known for being holy, for serving the Lord completely, for being dedicated to the Lord, for being focused on the Lord, for being defined on the Lord. And so while there's a lot of things that we could say about marriage this morning, and it might be a confusing picture about what it means to be a church, we're very, very clear that at the very least, it means that we are a people who are faithfully defined by our service and our fidelity and our faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I guess just by way of conclusion, just to make this as clear as I can, we looked at four different pictures of the church. And the church is like an army. The church is like a building. The church is like a bride. And the church is like a body. Did any of the passages that we talked about this morning say that a church is four walls and a steeple? None of the passages this morning said that a church is four walls and a steeple. A church is rather, and it rhymes, you ready? You know where I'm going. My mom's grinning, she knows. It's a people. Church is a people. It's not four walls and a steeple. We're grateful for four walls and a steeple. It allows us to have church when it's less than 80 degrees and sunny outside, right? Inside church gives us air conditioning. Inside church gives us indoor plumbing. Inside church gives us heat when it's cold. Indoor church is amazing. But according to the New Testament, the church has never been four walls and a steeple. It's always been a group of people. And so I kind of thought that it would be a wonderful opportunity to preach about and deal biblically with this question, what is a church? We should be amazing at that answer. And I thought the best possible way to illustrate it was to just do it, to meet outdoors, because it's so different. And it's so easy to associate the times that we have together with a place, but it has nothing to do with the place. It has everything to do with a people and what God is doing amongst us. One of the things that makes the church faithful, one of the things that makes the church true to Jesus Christ, is that we do what he said. And he said three big things. He said that when we make a decision of faith, we should be baptized. He said that when we make a decision of faith, we should take communion together to remember his death, burial, and resurrection. And he said that when we make a decision of faith, we should tell others, that we should go and talk about what it means to be a Christian, to make disciples. And so, you know, a church tries to do all of these three things. And today we're going to focus on one of them, which is when a people, individuals that have come together, make a decision of faith, they take communion together. They take a little piece of bread and a little sip of juice, and it represents the Jesus Christ's body. It represents his blood. And we take it into our body, saying that we are joined with him, that we remember him and we celebrate him and we worship him. And so you might be wondering this morning, well, do I need to be a member of Quinebaug River Church, or do I need to have taken a class so that I can be a part of something that the church is going to do to be obedient to Jesus Christ? Because he commands it. We should take communion together. And the answer is communion is so much bigger than any one church or any one gathering at any one time. And so the requirements for communion biblically are very, very simple. Have you accepted Jesus Christ by faith? Is he your Savior? Are you a part of his family? Are you a part of his army? Are you a part of his building? Are you a part of his body? Are you a part of his bride? If the answer is yes, then please, by all means, take communion, because you're simply remembering something that you've already done. If you're not a Christian this morning, but you would like to be because you want to be a part of his army, you want to be moved by prayer, you want to be a part of his building, you want to be a part of that story where faith has a face, you want to be a part of his body to have your needs met and meet the needs of others, you want to be a part of his bride because you are ready to forsake your sin and live and follow Jesus Christ obediently, then it's very simple. Ask him to be your Savior, turn from your sin, acknowledge what you know to be wrong about your life, and embrace Jesus Christ by faith, and then join the family and take communion. Because the reality is this morning, whether you are a Christian or not, you're one decision away from being together. You're one decision away from being a part of the building, the bride, the body, the army, the church that Jesus has built that will at some point conquer everything that we know to be as evil. And so don't let one decision stand in your way of being a part of that this morning. And by faith, ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Take communion with us. And then I'd love it if you'd come and talk with me about that decision sometime over a hamburger. That would be amazing. That would be great. And so the worship team is here. I'm going to pray. The guys are going to distribute the communion elements. Again, just be a little patient. If they can't find you, flag them down, tackle them, trip them, do whatever you have to do. Don't let anything get in your way if you would like to receive communion this morning, because you're one decision away from being together. And so give them a little patience and help them out as they distribute the elements. And then the team is going to sing for us, and then we will take communion together once everyone who would like to elements for communion. So join me as I ask the Lord's blessing on our time of communion, and then we will partake together. Would you join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the clarity that your word provides by providing four such clear images of what it means to be the church. We want to be awesome at church. We want to be amazing at church. We don't want to be defined by any one particular locality. In fact, we want your gospel to be preached everywhere. hence meeting outdoors today. We don't want any walls or any obstacles or any barriers to get in the way of you being taught and preached and proclaimed in every part of Eastern Connecticut, Father. And the last thing that we want to get in the way is our sin. And so, Father, in preparation for communion, before we come to the table, we wash our hands and we acknowledge to you for the first time or maybe for the 100th that we don't deserve to be taking communion right now. We don't deserve to be remembering our moment of salvation, but here we are, and we're saying by faith to cleanse us and to forgive us of what we know to be wrong. And Heavenly Father, if there's anyone amongst us who would like to be a Christian this morning, I just ask them that they would pray with me like this. Heavenly Father, you know that I have failed you, myself, and others. I turn from what I know to be evil, and I turn to what I know to be right. And I know what's right now is to make a decision of faith and to partake in your church, your army, your bride, your building, your body, and to have my faith be visible as I take communion, maybe for the first time. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.